headlines this hour. Hezbollah says Israel assassinated former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri.
I say to you today that we accuse the Israeli enemy of assassinating former Lebanese Premier Rafiq Hariri on the 14th of February 2005.
A new poll shows most Americans want an end to the war in Afghanistan. In the U.S. state of Connecticut, a man kills 9 people, including himself. And the major study in the U.S. says the oil spill has affected children's lives.
Hello everyone, it's 2:30 a.m. here in Tehran and you're watching the news here on Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. The head of Hezbollah has accused Israel of assassinating former Lebanese Premier Rafiq al-Hariri.
Reasons to accuse. I have information. My accusations will be based on evidence and information. And so I say to you today that we accuse the Israeli enemy of assassinating former Lebanese Premier Rafiq Hariri on the 14th of February 2005.
Nasrallah says he will unveil sensitive information about the killing at a press conference on Monday. In other remarks, he warned that the possibility of Israel waging a war on Lebanon always exists. This because of what he called Tel Aviv's hostile nature. In response, he called on all Lebanese to be cautious and ready. He added that the only thing that can defend Lebanon from Israeli aggression is unity. At least 4 Lebanese, including 3 soldiers and a senior Israeli army officer, have been killed in clashes in the south of Lebanon.
Well, as well as foreign ministry warned Lebanon of consequences if violence continued, and Lebanon's prime minister condemned what he called Israeli aggression and said Lebanese sovereignty had been violated.
At noon, local time, southern Lebanon witnessed clashes between Israeli and Lebanese armed forces. The fighting that lasted for several hours brought recent tensions between the two to a sudden and a very real peak as local residents fled and the country watched with bated breath. The Lebanese army said Israel crossed over into its border, leading to retaliation. But Israel blamed the Lebanese army, saying it bore full responsibility for the incident. Both governments have said they will complain to the United Nations. UNIFIL, the UN peacekeeping force in Lebanon, told Press TV that calm had been restored to southern Lebanon.
The situation is back under control. I hope that it will stay like it is right now. We are here to calm down the situation and to avoid any kind of escalation. The party has agreed. We are in touch with them, and we are agreed also to have a meeting as soon as possible to discuss what has happened.
Can we say that fighting has stopped and will?
The fighting has stopped and the situation is going back to normal.
But local residents expressed their anger at UNIFIL's role in the area.
My house just here. When happened the problem, I was here. This UNIFIL, they don't do anything. They just leave their own car and they run away. We saw them down on the street. They can't do anything. And they mention the flag, the white flag like this, and they can't do anything.
The UN mission is supposed to keep the peace after the 2006 Israeli war on Lebanon, a war widely seen as a victory for the resistance movement Hezbollah. The group's leader, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, has in recent weeks warned of a new war in the country, saying that the upcoming findings of the UN-backed tribunal over former Premier Rafiq Hariri's death has a political aim to sow tension and possible violence in Lebanon. It's a charge the tribunal rejects. For now, it's still not clear if Tuesday's clashes are just a spark from a misunderstanding or related to the growing tension in the country. But what's clear is that they're a timely reminder of how volatile Lebanon can become in just a blink of an eye.
Reports say Lebanese military intelligence has arrested a high-ranking army officer on suspicion of spying for Israel. The army colonel was reportedly detained several days ago. Lebanon has arrested some 50 people in recent months in connection with alleged Israeli espionage activities. On Monday, a senior manager at Lebanese cell phone service provider Ogero was arrested on suspicion of spying for Israel. Authorities also arrested an employee of Lebanon's Alpha Mobile telephone company on spying charges. That's the third worker from the company to be detained in a month. The arrests spark fears in Beirut that Israeli intelligence has extensively penetrated Lebanon's communications infrastructure.
U.S. public support for the war in Afghanistan has hit a record low after the leak of secret military documents by a whistleblower website. A USA Today Gallup poll shows public confidence in President Barack Obama's war policy has plunged to a new low of 36%. 43% of Americans believe the U.S. made a mistake in sending troops to Afghanistan. Obama's overall ratings have also plunged to a new low, with only 41% of the U.S. public saying they approve of his performance. A growing public doubt about the Afghan war comes after thousands of documents on the war were recently released by whistleblower website WikiLeaks. To discuss this more, we're joined from San Francisco on the phone by Richard Becker. He's with the ANSWER Coalition. Welcome to the program, sir. The U.S. public has turned against the war. The Afghan public, meanwhile, say it wants foreign troops out. And none of the war's stated goals have seemed to be achieved after 9 years. So why do you think America is still fighting in Afghanistan?
Well, it is impossible for the leaders in Washington to admit what is a growing reality, and that is defeat in a war in Afghanistan. I would relate this to what just happened, the announcement that President Obama made yesterday in regard to Iraq, which was really quite a disingenuous announcement to make it sound as if the United States had achieved some great victory in Iraq. In fact, that is not the case. What they did achieve was escaping from what appeared 3 years ago to be an oncoming catastrophic defeat. Now the situation in Afghanistan is even more untenable for the United States, but the rulers of the empire, and this has been the case all through history, cannot admit defeat without putting in jeopardy their entire enterprise.
Well, how has the issue of mounting civilian casualties affected the U.S. public opinion?
Well, I think that it's becoming more and more clear to people in the United States, both by dint of the rising casualties on the Afghan side, the civilian casualties, and the sharp rise in U.S. casualties, both killed and wounded, that has taken place this year, that all the claims that progress is being made and that, you know, victory is on the horizon and so forth, that these are utterly false. And at the same time, the wars in Afghanistan and the continuing occupation of Iraq cost hundreds of millions of dollars per day at a time of deep economic crisis and very high unemployment in the U.S.
All right, we'll leave it there. And thanks to Richard Becker with the ANSWER Coalition from San Francisco.
With more foreign troops casualties in the war-torn Afghanistan, officials in the eastern province of Logar say 5 U.S. soldiers have been injured in 2 separate Taliban attacks. They add that raids left 8 militants dead and 5 others wounded. This is while the Taliban claim 15 American soldiers were killed in the attacks.
Well, Afghan President Hamid Karzai's spokesman says he's due to visit Iran this week. Karzai is slated to take part in a trilateral summit of Persian-speaking countries. The Afghan president will hold talks with his Iranian and Tajik counterparts. He's also scheduled to meet with high-ranking Iranian officials to discuss bilateral ties. In other comments, the Afghan president's spokesman said relations between Kabul and Washington will not affect Afghanistan's good ties with Iran. Karzai last visited Tehran in March for celebrations marking the Persian New Year.
Pakistan's president says the U.S.-led forces are losing the war against the Taliban in Afghanistan. Asif Ali Zardari has told France's Le Monde daily that the Taliban are gaining power. power, mainly because the coalition forces have failed to win the Afghan people's hearts and minds. It's added that the U.S.-led forces had underestimated the situation on the ground in Afghanistan. Zardari's comments come after military documents leaked to the media have pointed to alleged support by Pakistani officials for the Taliban militants. Zardari has insisted that Pakistan is committed to fighting terrorism in the region. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs has dismissed Zardari's comments. U.S. officials have recently said that the war is making headway in Afghanistan.
Well, the United States has imposed sanctions on a number of firms it believes are doing business with Iran. The U.S. Treasury Department has named 21 banking and mining companies throughout Europe. It accuses them of being fronts for Iran, saying they're used to evade the recent UN Security Council sanctions against Tehran. The targeted firms are based in Belarus, Japan, Germany, Luxembourg and Italy. This comes as part of Washington's efforts to step up pressure on Tehran over its nuclear energy program.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner has warned that the country's unemployment rate could get worse. Said in a television interview that most Americans are still facing a quote-unquote tough economy, but he said the increase in the unemployment rate is temporary. Critics say President Barack Obama's unwillingness to extend all of the former administration's tax cuts, including to top earners, increase the jobless rate. Geithner's comments come ahead of the publication of key July unemployment data on Friday. The jobless rate is expected to rise to 9.6% from the current rate of 9.5%.
Now, a factory employee in the U.S. state of Connecticut has gone on a shooting rampage, killing 8 of his colleagues before turning the gun on himself.
A number of patients were involved, 3 of which were brought to this hospital. One patient is in fair condition, another patient is in very serious condition in the operating room, and a third patient was resuscitated here and ultimately died.
Well, local media reports that 34-year-old Omar Thornton opened fire on his co-workers after being told to resign at a disciplinary hearing. His mother says he called her to say his final words before shooting himself. Well, Thornton, an African-American, had complained of being racially discriminated, but he was ignored by his superiors. Well, 17 months ago, U.S. President Barack Obama promised to withdraw all U.S. troops from Iraq by September 2010.
On Monday, the president quietly abandoned his pledge, admitting implicitly that such combat brigades would remain until the end of 2011. Let's have a closer look.
During his speech to military veterans on Monday, Obama said combat operations in Iraq will end by the end of August.
And I made it clear that by August 31st, 2010, America's combat mission in Iraq would end. And that is exactly what we are doing, as promised and on schedule.
But Obama's campaign website, Organizing for America, said at the time of his presidential candidacy that if he was elected, the war would end in May 2010. The timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops in Iraq was in fact decided in the administration of former U.S. President George W. Bush. It called for most U.S. troops to leave Iraqi towns and cities by the end of June 2009. However, as announced by Obama, some 50,000 U.S. troops are set to remain in Iraq until the end of 2011. The U.S. president says Washington's strategy is now shifting to civilian efforts.
Our commitment in Iraq is changing from a military effort led by our troops to a civilian effort led by our diplomats.
But is Obama going to reach his goal of conducting civilian efforts in Iraq through tens of thousands of troops there?
I really don't see any possibility of reaching the goal that the president said of removing troops entirely from Iraq. I think that's really a red herring. It's not realistic. I think we still have a lot of fighting going on. The political situation is still very turbulent. I think the less the U.S. gets directly involved in that, the better. But at this point, given the unsettled situation, I don't see how Obama is going to withdraw all the troops from Iraq in the timetable that is now being set.
The level of U.S. soldiers in Iraq has somewhat dropped since Obama took office, but large portions of these troops have been transitioned straight into Afghanistan, where the violence is still on the rise. The U.S. president is facing growing opposition at home and abroad to the unpopular Afghanistan war, as the Allied forces are witnessing mounting death tolls among their troops.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. A quick check of the headlines this hour. Hezbollah says Israel assassinated former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri.
I say to you today that we accuse the Israeli enemy of assassinating former Lebanese Premier Rafiq Hariri on the 14th of February 2005.
A new poll shows most Americans want an end to the war in Afghanistan. In the U.S. state of Connecticut, a man kills 9 people, including himself. And a major study in the U.S. says the oil spill has affected children's lives.
And still ahead here on Press TV, Russia, wildfires continue to burn acres of land, dead, and much more.
Now, a major study shows the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico will continue to haunt the lives of coastal residents, especially children. The study was conducted by researchers at the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University. A third of the surveyed say their kids have developed mental, behavioral, or physical problems because of the spill. The problems range from respiratory difficulties and rashes to difficulty socializing with other children and trouble going to sleep. The survey also shows more than a quarter of coastal residents might move away. 1 in 5 said their household income had fallen because of the spill, and 2/3 said they were not sure local seafood is safe to eat. Well, Russia is stepping up attempts to fight wildfires that have claimed the lives of around 40 people so far.
Local authorities there have mobilized forces from the army and police as more fires have been breaking out across that country amid record heat. Press TV's Svetlana Korkina has more.
Every new day brings new fires. Nearly 800 of them are now raging across Russia. The total area ablaze exceeds 170,000 hectares.
The situation is difficult and tense, but it's under control. The top task is to save villages, so we create protective zones around them to stop fire from spreading.
President Medvedev declared a state of emergency in several regions. He ordered army to be used in the operation and restrict public access to the affected areas. Now tens of thousands of rescuers, troops and police are working to extinguish the fire. The president appealed to Russians to help thousands of fire victims who lost their homes.
The government, of course, understands its responsibility, but it does not mean that we, the citizens of Russia, should stay away from the common misfortune. Let's help those who are in trouble.
Prime Minister Putin warned that local officials who do not respond adequately to the fires risk losing their jobs. The disaster, which has killed 4 dozen people so far, was sparked by weeks of searing heat and no rain. Emergency officials say weather is the main cause of fire, but they also blame human carelessness. Experts believe the authorities failed to take proper measures to prevent the catastrophe.
because of their administrative reform in Russia, their functions to control forest fires were delegated to the level of forest renters, so to the level of businesses which rent forest and use it, and to regional administrations. And neither business nor regional administrations were prepared enough to deal with the forest fires, to deal with the very serious and costly work on the forest fire prevention.
Millions of Muscovites have to get used to sharp burning smell. The city is covered in a layer of smog from burning peat and forests, which increases the already high pollution levels.
Today there's light smoke in the city and Muscovites can breathe relatively freely. Many wonder for how long. According to forecasts, southeastern wind can bring back the smoke from burning forests anytime.
Svetlana Korkina, Press TV, Moscow.
And that was our latest headlines on Press Room News. Do make sure to log on to our website, presstv.com, for the latest on all our top stories. Our top story of the day, the latest developments in Lebanon. Presstv.com.
Iran played a tough five-setter with China in the Asian Men's Volleyball Cup. Find out who won next with Amir Hossein on Sports International.